Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has called for a political firewall to keep the far right out of power. His call comes after Germany's anti-immigrant Alternative for Deutschland party topped the poll in one state and came second in another. For more on this, we're joined by reporter at the Washington Post Berlin Bureau, Kate Brady. Good morning, Kate, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Can you put this win, AfD win, in context for us? How significant is it?
It is extremely significant. This is the first time that we've seen the far right win a state in Germany since the Second World War. When you think of the symbolic significance of that, especially given Germany's history, this is a huge shift, especially given that, you know, the AfD was only founded in 2013. And when you think back to some of the demonstrations that we've seen in previous years, the shock really among the nation, the first time they entered a state parliament, the first time that they entered the national parliament in 2017. And now we're seeing the AfD in a state as well, which is worth pointing, in Thuringia. It is one of the three states in Germany where a regional branch of the AfD is classified as extremist by regional domestic intelligence. And so at the moment, we're in a situation where we have the AfD as the strongest party in Thuringia, the second strongest in neighboring Saxony, as you mentioned. But it looks like that firewall is going to stay in place. And although they are the strongest party, they won't be governing.
Mm-hmm. But we have particular circumstances around this particular result, because just before the voters went to the polls, we had three people killed and eight more injured in a really horrific knife attack, which responsibility for it was then claimed by Islamic State. It was linked to a Syrian asylum seeker. I mean, how much did those events, do you think, play into the results?
It's hard to say completely. To be honest, the AfD, especially in those two states, had been polling extremely well before the attack. Whether or not that pushed some voters on the day of voting, or when they stood in that voting booth, that we won't know. But we do know that the AfD definitely did try to win some political points using this. Only hours after the stabbing attack, one of the lead candidate, the head of the AfD in Thuringia, who is also classed as an extremist himself, took to Twitter, took to X, asking voters, are these the conditions that you want, pointing to that stabbing in Solingen and saying, if not, vote for us on September 1st. So there's certainly been trying to win some extra points in that last week before the election. Mm-hmm.
And then for the centrist parties, the squeeze is coming from both sides, isn't it? Because we have the right wing, as you've described, but then we have this brand new left wing populist platform. And they also outperformed expectations, didn't they?
They really did. It's a really interesting development that we're seeing here. And this is the Zare Wagenknecht Alliance. It was founded as a breakaway from the left party just in January of this year. And the main priorities for that party are running a campaign that's very pro-Russia. They don't want to send any more military aid to Ukraine. And they've also taken a very tough stance in their proposed policies when it comes to migration as well. So you do see some crossover with the far right as well. But it's these two parties that, given that we're now just over a year, we've just over a year to go until the federal elections here in Germany, it's really those two parties that could cause some issues a year from now, especially if they do well. Even if the parties continue to keep up this firewall, say they're not going to cooperate with the far right AfD, their sheer numbers in parliament make it very, very difficult. And that's what we're seeing in Thuringia and Saxony right now. They make it very difficult for the other parties then to create coalitions, which is absolutely normal practice in Germany. We always have coalition governments. It's very rare that you'd have a majority. But that in itself makes that process, the strength, especially of those two parties, will make it very difficult for the mainstream centrist parties to form any kind of stable coalitions.
Yeah, it's a Hobson's choice, really, isn't it? I mean, if you build this firewall, it looks, by virtue of the numbers that you're dealing with here, both on the far right and on the far left, that the centrist parties might have to do a deal with this let's say, the far left party. You know, you mentioned there the pro-Russian stance, the fact that they want to reject military aid for Ukraine. And for many Germans, that's going to be unpalatable. But how else do you stop the AfD?
Exactly. And this is exactly the challenge that the parties are going to face. And in the meantime, it means that the governing coalition parties, the Social Democrats under Olaf Scholz, the Chancellor, the Free Democrats and the Greens, really have some work to do between now and next year's elections to pull more voters back into the centre ground. At the same time, you have the CDU. They're currently polling as the strongest party, but they also have obviously issues with a potential coalition where one party, in the case of the BSW alliance, that they're calling to stop aid, military aid to Ukraine. So there's going to be some very, very difficult months ahead in these two states. But of course, everyone is on tenterhooks to think what that might mean on a national level a year from now.
And what are you seeing in that regard? I mean, are they reliable bellwethers for the rest of the country?
Not really in those two states. These two are quite unique in that the governing coalition parties at the federal level don't traditionally poll well in those two states anyway. And it's worth bearing in mind that only around 5 million people were eligible to vote last weekend. It's two states as well that have been strongholds for the AfD almost since the party was founded just over a decade ago. But of course, it doesn't bode well either for Olaf Scholz. There's one more regional state election just a few weeks from now on September 22nd in Brandenburg, just outside of Berlin. And there the AfD is also polling in first position. But what would be a huge blow there is if the Social Democrats lose hold of power. They've basically had hold of the premiership, the governor, if you will, of Brandenburg since German reunification. Now, if the SPD, the Social Democrats, were to lose that position, that could indeed start some really serious discussions about whether Olaf Scholz should indeed really be running for a second term as Chancellor next year.
Kate, I'm sure we'll be talking about this again and pretty soon. Kate Brady, their reporter with the Washington Post Berlin Bureau. We're going to be talking about Operation Bring Back Prince Harry after these.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.